Hello and welcome to the Stuff I Heard podcast. This is your host, Joshua Peak. Hey, everybody, and thank you for stopping by the Stuff I Heard podcast. I am your host, Josh Peak, and today happens to be Wednesday, the 4th of December? Jeez, it's already in December. Anybody have dyslexia? Like, you know, where you read words upside down, or every now and then, not upside down, but like letters. So when you go to write the word episode, you write E-D, and then you go, no, that's not right. And then you write E-B, and you go, wait, a P goes this way. And you, okay, P, episode 166. Okay, so if you guys tuned in yesterday, you saw the All Girls podcast with my wife and her friends, Cheryl and Lori. And they're going to try to do that like once a month to get together and kind of talk about things that are going on and sort of motivate each other and, you know, kind of bridge a gap between a generation of people, of ladies who just may not have a voice with one another or don't realize they have a voice with one another. And it's sort of an opportunity for them to do something a little out of the ordinary. So please give them a listen. I know there's a portion of the audio, my wife pointed out to me this morning, that there is a portion of the audio where as you're listening to it, there's like a gap where there's nothing. And I'm not exactly sure why. Now, I will tell you the behind the scenes of this. I set everything up last night, and Lori's husband, Dan, was coming over. And I was like, all right, I'm going to set this up, and y'all take over. And I went to walk out of the door. And when I walked right out of the door here into the hallway, there was a knock at the door. And I was like, oh, Dan's here. So I opened the back door, and I guess the ladies in here doing the podcast thought, well, that's going to be distracting if we leave that door open. So they closed the door. So while Cheryl got up to close the door, there was like a lag. And so Dolores was like, hey, if you get a chance to like edit that, can you take that part out? And I was like, yeah. So I got back here and I spliced it and I took that part out and I thought, well, that'll fix it. And I think it did, but there's another part in there where there's dead space. Now, when she played it, I thought, okay, let me think about this. The way this goes out into the universe is I record on GarageBand and then I take that audio and I convert it into an MP3 and then I move it over to the Anchor website. When I move it over, it saves the file and then I can split it in Anchor to put the ad breaks. You know, right now they give me the option of putting 3 ad breaks and it may all be just advertising for Anchor, but I still get that opportunity to do that. And in that process, I think that one of those ad breaks is just dead space. And it may be a technical thing from Anchor. So anyway, moving forward, if you come into contact with that, please note that I am trying everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. If you come across it, just, you know, wait a second or skip ahead and you'll be like, oh, there they are. It is not intentional. I am going to try to make sure that every bit of dead space is filled in with my stupid voice or someone else's voice or whatever, or pause for effect. You know what I mean? I've done that in the past, and it was pointed out to me by listeners, hey, that pause for effect, you kind of paused a little too long there, buddy. You kind of left us hanging, and we thought, is this thing still on? So I apologize for that, and I'm moving forward. Let's talk about some stuff I heard. There's been a lot of things going on that I did not get to talk about on the last podcast because we were kind enough to, or lucky enough, I should say, to have Jeff Veeley and his wife Justine here. They came in and talked about internet security. And listen, right after we talked about that, listen, we talked about a lot of things that were way over my head. And I'm sure that people that were listening to it were like, whoa, this is outside of my knowledge range. Jeff has a lot of good information. And he sent me some links to some stuff that's helpful to you guys, some free links for some cybersecurity. And I put it in the tagline of that podcast. So if you're listening and you want to find out what he was talking about, go to the YouTube page, find the one with Jeff Veeley. I think it was episode 164, and go in the comments. You can see where it's got a section right underneath the picture. You can click on the more information, and it expands. I've got taglines in there that tells you what you need to click on to go to the sites for, you know, better internet security. So anyway, right after we did that, and we talked about the fact that these companies out there are getting these fake emails sent to people's homes and saying, hey, by the way, you've been compromised. Click here to reset your password. Those are fake, okay? We said that, and then Monday, my wife gets 2 of them, one disguised as PayPal and one disguised as Apple. She actually screenshotted it and sent it to me. She goes, would you believe this? this is what we were just talking about. And she sent me a screenshot of it. And she goes, don't worry, I didn't click it. She goes, but I wanted you to see it. I was like, oh, wow. It's pretty clever. It looks just like the logos. They even matched like the color background for the Apple thing, which is really crazy. But it's not real. It's fake. So if you're listening to this and you're dealing with stuff like that, just know that it's fake. Please don't click on it. You're going to be like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. So anyway, let's talk about some stuff I heard moving forward. Netflix has a show, a movie, a very, very long movie called The Irishman. Now, I was excited when this was promoted because it was promoted with a lot of big movie stars and, you know, Martin Scorsese's going to do it. He's best known for, you know, the Godfather series. There's like three Godfathers, one, two, and three. He did, you know, was it Casino? He's done a lot of these, you know, mafioso type movies. And he got a lot of big actors to be in this. Robert De Niro's in it, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. They play the top three, okay? They're the top three actors you see. As I'm watching it, I see other actors, like Ray Romano's in it. And I go, ooh, this is, like, he was like, you know, he's a comedian, but he's also an actor. And he was good. I mean, he played a good role. I clicked on the link to kind of see who some of the other actors are, because every now and then someone will go across the screen and you're like, wait, that was, who was that? And so in the list, let me just kind of, because I made notes. I had to go online and make notes. Okay, so there's this guy, Bobby Cavendale, Cavendale. He's, if you ever watched Boardwalk Empire, he's the big Italian guy that comes in and kind of makes a ruckus. He's also been in the HBO series Vinyl. Big, domineering kind of fellow. Very impressive guy. He's had some regular TV show stuff, but, I mean, Boardwalk Empire to me is still the pinnacle for him. I mean, he was the main character in Vinyl. So if you watched Vinyl on HBO, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy. Anna Paquin, she plays Robert De Niro's daughter as an adult. And you may know her from True Blood on HBO. Let's be honest. We're not watching Anna Paquin because she can act, okay? In True Blood, that wasn't acting. That was a lot of pretend and a lot of showing off her naked body, which is pretty impressive, especially you know, for to match HBO quality for boobs. I mean, they have a theory or a theme. Show some great boobs and then have some cool sci-fi stuff, and people are hooked. And they're right, you know. But I never once tuned into the show and thought, wow, she's a really good actor. I totally forgot that she was a human. And yeah, okay. In this, she only, like it's reported, she only has 7 lines in the whole thing of this 3-hour and 30-minute marathon of a movie. She only has 7 lines. And it's okay. Because of her 7 lines, she actually has to act without saying a word. And she did good. So kudos to you, Anna Paquin. But also, like, there's this guy, Jesse Pimons, P-I-E-M-O-N-S. I recognized him right away from being on Breaking Bad. He was in, like, the later seasons. He's also in El Camino when they did the return, the Jesse Eisen story. And then he's also been in Black Mirror. He kind of looks like Matt Damon if Matt Damon had the mumps. Like, his, like this part, the part underneath his neck is kind of swollen up around his jaws, you know. But in the face, he looks a lot like Matt Damon. Of course, Matt Damon's a lot skinnier. But anyway, you get my point. Sebastian Maniscalco is a stand-up comedian. He's in this. He plays a gangster, and he plays it pretty well. I recognized him right away. As soon as he started talking, I was like, I know that guy. You know, Jim Norton's in this. Now, I don't remember seeing Jim Norton. Maybe he didn't have a big role. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I'll be honest, I don't know that I could pick Jim Norton out of a crowd, but I like listening to him on Bert's podcast whenever he's on there and on Joe's podcast whenever he's on there. So anyway, and then there's a guy, this guy I really like, Stephen Graham. Stephen Graham played Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire. HBO had this series, Boardwalk Empire. Steve Buscemi is like the main character. And it talks about prohibition. It talks about how these gangsters got power and, you know, became powerful, running illegal alcohol and, you know, sort of getting involved in politics through what they were doing, influencing politics a lot with money. because, you know, alcohol is supposed to be illegal, and here they are selling alcohol all the time. So they just had an influx of money, and crime went up, and this guy played Al Capone. Now, he played Al Capone so well, in the beginning, when I first started showing him, I was thinking, isn't he a little short to play Al Capone? And, like, I Googled Al Capone. He's supposed to be, like, 6'1". And this guy, Stephen Graham, is, like, you know, 5', whatever, 5'8", 5'9". But as the season goes on and you get into the later episodes of Boardwalk Empire, he is so convincing as Al Capone that you're like, yes, I totally get that you're Al Capone. Like, this is a dominant, crazy guy. You know, he is just out of his mind on drugs and is obsessed with this power that he has and is just a ruthless murderer. And, you know, also there's like a kindness to him because he's, you know, got a kid that's deaf. And so he's, you know, a little heartbroken over that. But anyway, this guy's in it. He plays a mobster again and he kills it as soon as he's on the screen, you're like, oh, I got to pay attention to this guy. He is that good. Now, let's talk about The Irishman. There's a lot of people that's been on social media and said, God, this pile of crap, it was 3.5 hours long. They could have cut 2 hours off of it and it still would have been okay, but they just went on too long. Now, let me start off by saying, yes, I agree with you. It was so long that it took me 3 days to watch. Now, people who are close to me, family, friends, they know that I'll watch a really crappy movie to find the big payoff, the big moment that somehow somebody talked somebody into some money for this pile of crap that they made. It's not hard to look at this cast and realize this is a Martin Scorsese epic film about Jimmy Hoffa, and it's about who killed Jimmy Hoffa. It's, you know, spoiler alert, it's based on a book called I Paint Houses. It follows the Irishman, this guy. I'm holding up my pen for those of you who can't see it on the podcast. It's this guy who supposedly writes a book at the end of his life, and it's called I Paint Houses. And spoiler alert, he says that he killed Hoffa at the end. Because right now, nobody really knows who killed Hoffa. There's a lot of claims. A lot of people said, no, I did it, you know, whatever. This is this guy's book. Now, here's the thing, okay? With that in mind, if Martin Scorsese is making a movie about it, there's got to be some weight behind it, right? You would think, right? So after I got done watching it, my wife asked, you know, how was it? I was like, oh, it's so long. It's just so boring. And I even went online and I think I mentioned, this is such a boring movie. The longer I get away from it, the more I like it. I watched this thing when it came out, like that weekend. And from when I first watch it, I'm starting to picture things in it that I like, okay? And I'll give you an example. Martin Scorsese's on the record for saying that he hates, like, the superhero movies, you know, the Avengers and stuff like that, and because it's all sci-fi and it's all staged and it's super produced and there's no real acting. And in a way, he's right. And it has nothing to do with reality and it has nothing to do with people. And, you know, we're willing to praise people for their portrayal of, you know, some psychopath when they have, you know, special effects doing 60% of the heavy lifting for them. Now, he's not wrong, okay? And he's made a life of movies where the screen is capturing an actor. He's really good friends with Robert De Niro. They've done a lot of movies together, you know, Raging Bull, there's a bunch of them. I can't even think of them all. It was before my time. Okay. So I didn't watch a lot of them. I still haven't seen Raging Bull, even though I hear it's awesome. But they have a dialogue between the two of them where they realize there's moments on screen where you can feel the actor struggling with a scenario. And there's moments of this. There's a lot of moments of this. And he lets his friends kind of go through this on screen, which to the viewer could be boring, especially with no internal dialogue for you to actually have. But, you know, it's sort of like, have you seen the movie Castaway? And you got Tom Hanks. He's basically the only actor you see for a good hour and a half of the movie. He's so good at getting you to feel everything that he's feeling that you care for a stupid volleyball at the end when it floats away. When Wilson floats away and he realizes his friend, this imaginary character that he's named Wilson, this volleyball that he talks to and whatnot, floats away, he starts to cry out, "Wilson! Wilson!" And he has this emotional moment. As you're watching it, you kind of feel like you're tearing up because you're like, oh, Wilson's gone. He made us feel about a volleyball that it was a person. That's how good Tom Hanks was at the moments where there was dead space, nothing but him and the camera pointed at him. He didn't have to have words during a lot of it, and you could feel how he felt. That's kind of what Scorsese was trying to do in this, I do believe. There's a lot of moments where actors who are portraying these famous people are struggling with their role, struggling with the things they have to do to get to the next step. The problem is all these guys are in their 70s, and they're not exactly as sharp as they used to. Okay? I mean, let's just be honest. I like all of these actors. They're sort of on the downside of their ability to be present on screen. They even did a after the movie thing on HBO or whatever, Netflix, after The Irishman or The Irishman Explained. And they talk about how they were making the movie and they'd have to cut scenes and stop and go, "Hey, wait, he's supposed to be in his 40s here. How about, you know, pick up the pace here? You gotta be brisk." You know, they're supposed to be playing themselves as younger people and they're all in their 70s. So anyway, it's laborious to watch. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say that. It's hard to watch. But after a couple of days, you'd be like, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, it's kind of like being in an abusive relationship. You don't like it when you're in it. And then years later, you go, yeah, it wasn't all bad. Maybe that was a bad analogy. Anyway, I apologize to anybody if you're in an abusive relationship. So, anywho, let's leapfrog forward to Dolly Parton's Heartstrings. I know I talked about it before, being a lot like a Lifetime movie. And my wife picking on me about, "What are you watching this sappy crap for?" I like it. It's a guilty pleasure. Listen, it got better. The episodes get better as the thing goes on. One in particular, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it has to do with a young man and a young lady who are in love. And this is supposed to be back in like the 60s. And they go to school together. He's graduating, they're dating, he's a black man, she's a young white lady. The young white girl that's playing her is from The Americans. She was the daughter, Paige. I seen her on the screen and I was like, I know her from somewhere. My wife just happened to walk through the room and she just glances and she goes, yeah, you know, from that show you used to watch, The Americans, she's the daughter. And I was like, how do you do that? Like, she's got a thing for faces. Anyway, so they're supposed to be dating and then he signs up to join the Marine Corps and he goes off to Vietnam. But before he goes, they have sex and she gets pregnant. Now, he wanted to marry her and he went to visit her father, who happens to be the head pastor of the school they go to. They go to some religious school. And, you know, her father is like, listen, you're young. She's my daughter. I just, you know, give it a year. And then if you still want to marry her, then I'll okay it. And as soon as he walks out of the room to go home, he tells her, absolutely not. You can't do that. You know, what are you doing? You know, he just doesn't approve because they're from different races. And this is kind of the climate of the year back then. So not too different from what it is today in a lot of families. People still can't seem to get out of their own way about the fact that a color of skin has nothing to do with the content of their character, who they are. They just look at the external and they go, nope, not for me. It's crazy. Anyway, not to get on my political high horse here, but if you want to argue with me, I'll argue with you on that. Anyway, before he goes off to the Marine Corps, they have sex and she gets pregnant and she goes to school and she has to tell her teacher. And her teacher says, you got to tell your dad. He'll understand. He loves you. Okay. Backing up just a little bit. Her mother apparently had passed away sometime before, so she's not in the picture. It's just the crazy preacher dad who's, you know, a racist. And she comes to her dad to tell him, and he's mad. He's throwing stuff around. He's kicking stuff. He's telling her, you know, we're going to pray it away. We're going to pray it away. And she's like, okay. So they get down, and she and him supposedly pray. I'm sure she's thinking, please don't let my daddy kill me or do something to harm the baby. Well, the dad, of course, does something to harm the baby. He signs her up to go live in some house where she's going to live there until she has the baby, and then she's supposed to give it up for adoption. Like, they want her to sign paperwork saying, oh, yeah, I fully give you rights to do this. She didn't agree to it. She was like, I don't want to do this. And so she wanted to get out of there. She met up with another girl who wanted to get out of there, and they ran away together. They're like, we're out of here. And then they run into this lady driving a truck. She just happens to be like an ex-nun who now is a midwife. And she's like, come with me. I'll help you take care of it, you know. And her friend has the baby, and it's great, and everything's fine. And then she has a baby, and it's not fine. It actually is a stillborn. Sad moment, right? Meanwhile, Mr. Dude's in the Marine Corps, and he's writing her a letter every single day that he's at war. And his friends in the beginning are like, what are you doing? And he's like, I got to write a letter. I've been writing one every day. Now it's my good luck charm so that every day I do this, we all live. We're okay. So every day he's writing her a letter. Even if he's in combat, he writes her a letter. And he keeps sending it to her address, which she's not there. And her dad keeps getting these letters in the mail. And, you know, the postman's into it now because the postman's like, man, every day this guy sends a letter, man. It's really awesome. You know, and the dad's like, he's real mad. He's got like a little box that he's been keeping them in. And he starts looking at him and he's thinking, why am I keeping these things? So he throws them in a fire because he's mad. As soon as he throws them in the fire, he kind of realizes, wait, that's a lot of letters. Like, this kid must really love my daughter. And what am I doing? And he jumps into the fire and pulls out the letters that, you know, parts of them have burned. But, you know, for the most part, they seem to be okay. And he notices on the envelopes that they're numbered. Number 86, number 89, number 50, number 90, whatever. And meanwhile, you know, in the military, his buddies are like, what are you up to? And he's like, 175. He's like, all right, man, you're still going. That's great. Keep it going. And then they get attacked in the middle of this thing where he's supposed to be mailing the next letter. So I know I'm spoiling the whole thing, but you guys aren't going to watch it. Let's be honest. Anyway, so you can say, I heard it on stuff I heard. Anyway, so there's a moment where a letter comes. And it's to his grandma, and she apparently gets in touch with the school, and the school gets in touch with the pastor, and the pastor reads the letter, and he's like, oh my God, because they don't let you know what happens. You think the guy's dead. I mean, the whole time you're like, did he die? Oh my God, he died. She lost her baby and this dude. That's a sucky ending. Well, it's not a sucky ending because at the end of it, she goes with a big reunion crowd with the teacher and the pastor, you know, and her, they all reunite together, and his grandma. And when they go to the airport, they're offloading, you know, coffins with the flag on it. And you're like, oh no, but they seem hopeful. And you're like, wait a second, he's not dead. He's going to come out of the crowd. And he does. He comes out of the crowd. He's missing a leg at the knee, but he comes out of the crowd and he goes right to him and they kiss. And they're like, oh, I love you so much. I'm so glad you made it. You know, it's a happy ending at the end. I ain't gonna lie. I was really impressed. I was like, this is good. And there's a couple of them. There's a couple of really good ones. But anyway, check it out. There's another one I just watched this morning. Real teary moment. I'll just go ahead and tell you about it. How about that? You guys want to hear it? I know you're driving down the road right now and you're trying to fill up your little blank time while you're staring off into the windshield. So let me tell you about it anyway. Okay, so the episode starts off, this guy is talking about, he's at a funeral, and he's putting the grandkids in the car, and his son's like, you know, hey, you're going to be okay? He's like, hey, I'm fine. You know, and he's having conversations with his daughter, and you know, and his wife's like, you know, yeah, we'll be okay. You know, we're just going to, you know, sit inside and talk. And he's like, hey. So he goes inside, and he looks real sad, and he's like, okay, well, right off the bat, as a viewer, you're going, wait, who died? You can't really figure it out. And he goes inside and he's looking at some old pictures and he sees like a picture of like a kid and a grown man. And you're like, is that supposed to be him and a kid? Or is that supposed to be him as a kid with somebody? Did a parent die? What happened? And his wife goes, hey, you know, let's take a road trip. Let's go back to Sugar Hill. That's what the song, her song was based on the episode. Anyway, so they do a flashback thing where that's where they met as kids. And then they, for whatever reason, got separated. They met back up again as teenagers. They hit it off. Things were going well. They separated again because of some circumstances. His dad was very abusive and drunk and was on the wrong side of the law. And he sort of got swept up into some of that, trying to help his dad out. And she got mad at him and told him to go away. I don't want to see you anymore kind of deal. Well, he apparently is really good as a pitcher in baseball, and he gets signed to play minor league ball, and he finds her one day as an adult, and he comes up to where she's at, and she's turned into a writer and a poet, and she's doing like a live reading, and she sees him in the crowd, and she reads this poem, and he comes up to her at the end, and, you know, tells her I love you, you know, and I've been, it's not a day gone by, I haven't thought about you, and I don't want to go any further. And then he notices that she's pregnant, and he goes, but I can see you're already taken. And she says, well, I met this guy, and everything was, you know, seemed to be going great, and then as soon as I got pregnant, he left, and I don't know where he's at. And he said, okay, well, good luck to you. And he walks out the door, and it's like, wait, what the hell? And like, he literally, like, you can hear him think out loud, what am I doing? And so he stops her, like he runs out in front of her car, and he's like, listen, I don't care. I love you, and I want to be with you. And she's like, yeah, but this is not your baby. He goes, I don't care. We'll figure it out. And I was like, oh, that's so good. You know, and then they keep going back and forth between them in present day, driving on the road. And then they go back to, you know, they go to see his dad. And I'm like, wait, his dad's alive? I thought this whole time this was about his dad. And so, you know, he visits with his dad and they talk and he gets ready to leave. And he comes back out of the vehicle and stuff. And then I realize, like, it's one of those aha moments, kind of like The Sixth Sense, where at the end you figure out that Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. Come to find out, it was his wife. His wife was dead. The whole time they were having these conversations and she was teasing him and they were, you know, really fond with one another. She wasn't really there. Like, it was a memory. It was a conversation with a ghost. And I was like, oh, it was so good. Man, it was good. My wife walked in the room. She's like, is it good? I'm like, yeah, it's good. I got some dust in my eye or something. It's very dusty in here, you know. Listen, I'm a big softy. I play tough on TV, but I'm a big softy. So let's talk about some stuff I've seen on Disney Plus. I've been watching a few things. Episode 4 of The Mandalorian came out on Friday. The guy playing The Mandalorian is Pedro Pascal. I don't know who Pedro Pascal is, like, you know, for any of his credits or anything. But this episode, number 4, had Gina Carano in it, okay? And did I pronounce that right? Gina Carano. She's an MMA fighter and turned actress. She's pretty powerful looking. She looks like she can kick everybody's butt that I know. She's in this. She's a good actor. This is a good episode with them trying to overcome some obstacles. I don't want to give anything away. There is an unpopular opinion that the Mandalorian show is slow. And I would agree. It is slow. I am geeking out about it because it's in my genre of things that I want to watch and I'm excited about the content, but there's more special effects than there is content, if that makes sense. To me, I would have liked an hour long episode instead of they've been doing them right at 30 something minutes or 40 minutes. And I, you know, listen, it's Disney Plus. They can go as long as they want. I'm still going to watch it. It's still the genre I want to watch. It's the character I want to watch. So, the Baby Yoda thing is still cute. Nobody knows what to call it except for Baby Yoda because supposedly it's 50 years old and it looks like Baby Yoda. But we don't know what species Baby Yoda is, so we don't know what to call it other than that. So, anyway, I heard recently that Disney realized that they were short-sighted and they did not make any of these plush toys. And now they're, like, having people lose their minds going, where can I get a Baby Yoda? And they're like, oh, crap, we totally missed out on this. I mean, honestly, if you watch this, like, you had to watch it as you're making the show. If you're looking at it, like, in the previews, how do you not go, yeah, we should probably make a few of these toys because people are probably going to want to buy them. I mean, anyway, I don't work for Disney, so. They have another show that just came out, One Day. It's called One Day at Disney. And it follows people in their roles working for Disney and the things that they do and how they got into the jobs and what it's turned into. And it's good. I started to watch it last night kind of late, and I'd gotten up at 3 a.m. So I apparently watched 10 minutes of it, and then I fell asleep. And I woke up when the credits were rolling, and my wife goes, wow, that was really good, wasn't it? Wasn't it? You see all of that, didn't you? Huh? Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh? What? She's like, do yourself a favor. She said, watch this tomorrow. You're going to like it. And I was like, okay. So I watched it this morning, and it was good. It was really good. I like seeing all the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's really neat. There was one lady in particular that was working on a droid, and this droid apparently walks around the park and, you know, interacts with people in the park, and it doesn't say anything. It doesn't really move except for, you know, roaming around, and its head moves a little bit and its eye changes color, that kind of thing. And it makes some beep and bop noises, that kind of stuff. But it's neat. It's the step before other steps, if that makes sense. So, anyway, it's cool. Very cool. Also, Imagineering Story, episode 4 came out. I took a lot of notes on this. Apparently, episode 4 had a lot to do with them creating their cruise ships and their cruise line. It talks a lot about the hurdles that they had to get over to, first off, design a cruise ship that would look like something Disney would have, but also to create it functionally so that it worked as a comfort place, as a place for kids, as a place for kids of all ages. And listen, for me, I've been on a Disney cruise ship. I can tell you that it is fantastic. It is expensive, but it is worth every penny. Your whole experience is just above everybody else's. Okay. They talk a lot about their park expansions, some of the different projects that they had over the years. They go in a sequence and talk about how Tokyo reached out to them and they wanted to create a second park. And they had an influx of money and they were like, listen, we want to spare no expense. We want something really creative. And so they created something called Tokyo Disney Sea, S-E-A-C. And it's, they show video of what it looks like and what they did to create it. And it's mind-blowing. I want to go to Tokyo just to go to Tokyo Disney and Tokyo Disney Sea. It looks incredible. I mean, holy cow, just above and beyond everybody else's Disney, even Disney World, which is hard to say. But anyway, and they talked about how good that was, but then also some missteps that they made. They apparently made a Euro Disney as a second park outside of Disney Paris, and it didn't go well. They cut budgets. They cut corners. They didn't spend a lot of money. People were disappointed, and they're still sort of dealing with the backlash of that. They did one for Hong Kong. Apparently, they did a lot of two-dimensional stuff. They had to build an island out of the sea because there was no usable land to build a park. So they imported like thousands of tons of materials just to create land. And then they had to build a park on top of that. And it was crazy. Like the hurdles they had to do that was just intense. They talked about building California Adventure and how when they built it, they were basically using what used to be a parking lot and building a park on it. And there were a lot of challenges. They don't have as much land there. They didn't know what the theme should be. They didn't exactly know how it should flow. Everybody had different ideas about what it should be, and they didn't quite go with the theme. Now, my wife and I went there. What year was that? Was that 3 years ago? I think it was 3 years ago. I was looking on the wall at her posters to see if I could see a picture of it and guess. We went there 3 years ago to Disneyland and then went right next door to California Adventure, and it was impressive. They had done a lot of things with like Pixar and, you know, Cars. The Cars ride is really cool. And now they've got the Disney, their Star Wars attraction is over there. So, you know, they have a lot of different challenges in California, mainly due to the fact that they don't have any land that they can expand on. So, it was a good show to watch, to see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. It still amazes me at every turn. They seem to almost go broke all the time, even though I know they're doing great now financially. It seems like one misstep and all of a sudden they could be completely out of business. So, anywho, let's talk about some stuff I listened to, because I did listen to some things. Leanne Kreischer has a podcast called Wife of the Party, and you can find her at wifeotp.com. Episode 95 has to do with cannabis education. She has a friend who works in the cannabis industry where they live, and she brought over different products for her to sample and also to talk about how, you know, the differences between CBD and THC and how the different products affect you and help you, and some concerns and some areas where you could, you know, kind of learn from what she has to say. In the process, they have a local delivery place that they ordered while they were doing the podcast, and their order arrived within 15 minutes at their house. It's pretty cool. But anyway, very interesting podcast, a lot of information. If you're curious about this kind of stuff, this is a good episode to listen to. I also listened to the Burtcast, episode 375 with Ethan Page. Ethan Page, apparently, is an Impact Wrestling Tag Team champ. I didn't know what Impact Wrestling was. When I was a kid, we watched the WWF, and now I think it's called the WWE because there was some copyright issues over who owned WWF. Impact apparently is another league, I want to say, another division. He talks a lot about his journey from being a guy who wanted to be an actor or a comedian or something, and he started sweeping up around the place and setting up tables and chairs and whatnot, and then he started doing announcing, and then at a certain point, he started interviewing wrestlers, and they were like, listen, you're better than some of the wrestlers we got. You know, what do you think about wrestling? And he's like, sure, let's get into it. And he got into wrestling. And he did some characters that he didn't like. And then eventually he got to a place where he could wrestle for a bigger company and kind of be himself. And now apparently he's doing a lot of vlogging and behind-the-scenes stuff on his Instagram and YouTube. I went ahead and followed him. I was like, listen, this is a real interesting guy. I like what he has to say. And Bert really didn't know who he was. I mean... He apparently had done, what's his name's podcast? Zane Lamprey's podcast. I'm not sure what Zane Lamprey's podcast is called now. Every time he goes on Bert's podcast, he talks about, yeah, we've got this podcast. And then he'll literally change directions and pivot in a different direction and change the whole thing and completely stop doing the ones from the previous one. So I don't even know what podcast he has now. But Zane Lamprey, you may know him as the Kickstarter guy. Three Sheets, he had a show on some HD channel back when HD was brand new. Not Clean Sheets, Three Sheets. Yeah, supposed to be a drinking show. Anyway, he heard him on there. He was like, listen, you know, if you want to be on the podcast, I'd love to have you on. Come to find out, Ethan Page is a huge fan of Bert's. And he was like, oh, I'd love to be on your podcast. That'd be awesome. I'd love the exposure. I'd love to be able to, you know, talk to you and blah, blah, blah. So... anyway, they got together, they did the podcast together, and it was a lot of fun. The guy was interesting to listen to. I mean, he had a very interesting story. It was cool to follow his path along with him as he's explaining it, and I was like, I can totally see how you become a wrestler, man. This is really awesome. So, also, if you like wrestling, I just want to throw this out there. If you like wrestling and you want to watch a show about wrestling, there's a show about wrestling on Netflix called GLOW. It stands for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which is the league that it was back when I was a kid. They would come on TV, and it was like women wrestling. But they really didn't know what they were doing, and they were trying to learn wrestling moves, and they were coming up with characters. And it was a crazy scene that got popular as it went on because they got better moves. They got better at portraying these characters. But the show on Netflix really centers around one lady who decided to become the bad guy. Because she realized that every story, you have to have a good guy and a bad guy. You can't just have random characters. You got to have a compelling story. And so she became the bad guy in order to create the genre. And it worked. And it's incredible. A lot of good actors in it. A lot of good actresses. Mark Maron's in it. He plays like the director guy who kind of helps develop it and create it. They're getting ready to come out with season 3. And it is fantastic. I've watched all the episodes. They're fantastic. So, and that's it. I took notes. Look, you guys be so proud of me. I got a notebook now and I'm taking notes. I used to have like these loose little pieces of paper. I can't do that anymore. I want to talk about this guy. I'm going to have him on the podcast soon. I met him last Wednesday eating lunch and I don't think I talked about him. Go on YouTube and look up No Cash. He was a homeless man who someone stuck a camera in his face and he would have this sign around his neck and he'd wander around Florence and his sign said, "We'll sing for food." And he became famous. He became legit famous. One of his first videos, he has 8 million views. He's on YouTube. He has 220,000 subscribers. I've got a little over 4,400, but he's doing everything himself. He is putting out the time. He's putting out the effort. He wants to be on the podcast. We talked a lot about creating community, about helping others. He, for Thanksgiving, wanted to go around and help feed the homeless. He's, you know, married now. He's got a job. Things are working out really great for him. He's putting out his own music. Fascinating guy. I'm going to have him on the podcast. Check out his YouTube stuff. You're going to be amazed. Guy's got an incredible voice. And his story is something that needs to be shared. So look to that happening in the future. I'm not exactly sure when. I got a lot going on. I'm supposed to be going to visit my buddy Greg this weekend. So we're going to be doing one from Albany, Georgia. If you're in the Albany, Georgia area, look up 95 is his band. He's the lead singer. He's going to be performing at some big venue. I think it's Harvest Moon, if I'm not mistaken. If it's not, like, reach out. I'll tell you the information as I get closer. You'll find it on Instagram. I'm sure I'll post stuff about it. But check it out. Give all the love you can to everybody out there. Stuff I kind of care about. Danny's got a couple of videos up now with the blacksmithing friend of his, and he's got some really cool knives that he's made recently on Instagram. This guy named Brad, really cool. Danny's paying it forward. He's helping Brad start up his own YouTube page. Pretty fascinating. So we're going to do something collaborative between us at some point here. But that's it. I'm going to wrap this up. If you guys are watching the video, I did not one time have to reset this camera. This is the new camera. This is that Canon camera, and it's working pretty good. I do have to change the level at it because right now it's a little too high, but the image looks pretty good. I'm going to load it into YouTube, and we'll see what it sounds like, but hopefully everything is good. So thank you, everybody, for the support. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. If you want to be on the podcast, reach out to me. Let me know. We'll figure something out. We'll get together and we'll talk. Okay. It's all about community. Listen, you got to pay it forward. You got to share. And we can all be part of the change, man. So y'all take care. And as always, cue the cow.